I don't think neither one of us could take 4 hours. Y'all didn't laugh on that one, did you? In fact, some of you didn't even smile. Where's Brother Robert when you need him? There it is. Smile. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what he kept telling me. I hope I finally got the point I wanted to anyway. I didn't. Shame on me. I meant to. Smile. He's got that car. Well, I hope I found the will of God. I wanted to preach to you tonight out of the book of Hosea. And the verse of scripture that I found there that is very, very alarming to my soul. For me and for God's people in general. And that includes our church. But I couldn't seem to get the line down on it what I wanted. So I'm going to preach out of the book of Psalms tonight. You can be turning there to Psalm 38. And a very sobering verse of Scripture. I get it. A very sobering verse of Scripture that I think refutes a great deal of preaching that is... why'd you turn me off for? A great deal of preaching that has went on in our churches down through the years. And I probably preached on it as much as anybody. But I found out one thing, that none of us are perfect, and we don't always have a perfect understanding of the Bible. And as we go, we grow. Amen. And we learn. And but to be honest, the text that it's written in, context, and the thought that God is conveying to His people there is very troubling to my heart. And I'm wondering how many Baptists are traveling in that direction in their life. And I wonder how many churches are moving in that direction. Lord willing, I'll preach that on Sunday morning when I get back from Mexico. And so be praying for it. I don't think it's anything that's going to kill anybody. It's not, certainly, because I'm including myself in it. And you don't think I'd kill myself, do you? I'm not that crazy. I'm about nuts, but I don't think I've got there yet. But anyway, let's turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms in chapter number 38. Psalm 38 in our Bibles tonight. I want to read all 22 verses. And I don't know, I may have preached this some time ago. I don't know. It doesn't look like I preached it, but since I preached it to you the first time, but if I have, you'll have to forgive me. Psalm 38, beginning in verse number 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sins. Sound like David was in a real mess here. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, as an heavy burden they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I'm troubled. I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with this loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I'm feeble and sore broken. I've roared by reason of my disquietness of my heart, the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth. My strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things, and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, And I was as a dumb man that opened not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in me, O Lord, do I hope thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare my iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. But mine enemies are lively, and they are strong. And they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Now, if that's correctly read, that's reading verse 1 through 22 of Psalm number 38. Let's bow to pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the song service tonight, for your people that are here and their faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that is ever before us, all the rich promises, Lord, that we find in your book. I pray for power tonight, Lord, to preach the Word of God. I realize without you, I can do nothing. But, Lord, through you, we can do all things. For thou art all powerful and all wise and all loving, and you've never made a mistake. You're able, Lord, to empower us and bless us. You're able to bless the church. And I pray that you'll make me a blessing. Give us some grace tonight. We certainly stand in need of grace. I do pray again for the power and the liberty of God, that souls will be saved and God's people will get divine help tonight. Bless us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read verse number 20 is where I'm going to be preaching from tonight on a thought out of that verse. Please keep your Bibles open and do your best to stay right with me tonight. Try to stay in the building if you can. When it's slow, the moving around does have a tendency, unless it's a little child or something, to try to stay seated if you can. And let's do our best to pay attention. I know in services when they're slow, and we're tired, all of us, especially from the marathon, that we have a tendency to loll in our minds and let our minds go a little loose. But let's try to gird up the loins of our mind tonight and consider the Word of God together and get some help from it. The Bible said in verse number 20, they also that render evil for good are mine adversaries. Notice the next phrase is what I'm going to be taking the thought from tonight, is where Brother David said, because I follow the thing that good is. I follow the thing that good is. And I want to preach for a little while tonight on the thought, the good life. Just the good life. What kind of a life is a good life? David said that he followed the thing that good is. And I know that I'm confident God wants us to have a good life. God wants us to have a life of joy and happiness and peace. And he certainly wants us to have here, as David said, a life that is good. But in order to have that good life, we're going to have to follow the thing that good is in order to have that. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, so I'll try to get right into the message, if I may, and preach for a little while tonight on that thought, following the good life. Yeah. Let me say simply one thing by way of introduction, that you're never going to have the real good life without making enemies along the way. Now, you're going to have enemies. You're going to have enemies. Just being saved by the grace of God and living according to the Word of God and the will of God, you're going to have enemies. But I want to say that along the way, not only will you just have enemies, you will make some enemies along the way. There are those that are enemies of the cross of Christ. They're not necessarily your enemy. In fact, many of them would lead you to believe that they're your darling friend. Like Joab, they'll kiss you on the cheek and stick a dagger in your fifth rib at the same time and make you like it. But you're going to make some enemies along the way. In fact, he said, they also that render evil for good are mine adversaries. Not only are there going to be enemies, but there's going to be adversaries. There's going to be some things along the way of this good life that is going to oppose you. It's not going to be easy. I'll say more about that in a moment. The good life is not something that is easy, and it's certainly not obtained by rolling over, playing dead, or sitting down and doing nothing. It's going to be accomplished by a diligent Christian affection to the Lord Jesus Christ and following Him in all the precepts of the Word of God. Now, the title to the psalm, by the way, says a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. The title indicates that this is a psalm of remembrance. And there's nothing wrong with our recollecting or reflecting over former years of our life in the Lord Jesus Christ. David here remembers his miseries. He remembers his afflictions. But he closes this chapter with a consideration of the Lord's mercy and deliverance. And I believe David looks back and remembers the former years of his life. Those years that he had to fight the devil, as they say, and fight hell by the acre. But he looked back on his miseries and his afflictions, but he also looked back on the good times. I want to say one sure cure for the mullet grubs is to look back on the good times that you've had with the Lord. I mean, there's nothing wrong with going back to the cross and remembering where you were when God found you and how God delivered you there. If you read in the book of Acts and the accounts that Paul gave, many times Paul just simply said, gave his testimony of how he was on the road to Damascus and saw that light as bright as a noonday sun. And he repeated that testimony over and over again to each one of those patriarchs, monarchs that ruled in the land during that day. And there's nothing wrong with you and I going back to that day. I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll put the devil on the run. There's not much he can do while you're hanging around the cross. Now, if you stray from Calvary and stray in your mind or stray in your affections or stray in your Christian life or prayer life or Bible reading, then you're opening yourself up and making yourself vulnerable to the attacks from the devil. But I'll tell you, if you linger around the shadow of the cross, I'll tell you there's not much the devil can do to you. Amen. If we keep our eyes on the Lord, there is not much the devil can do to you. So there's really nothing wrong with remembering where you were when God found you. I like to go back there from time to time. I like to remind myself. I don't need to remind God. He knows where we were and I was. But I'll tell you, we need to remind ourselves. I believe we'd remind ourselves where we was when God found us. I believe we'd have come into the church house tonight with just a tad bit more enthusiasm than what we got right now. I'll tell you, if you don't tear around that cross, you'll lose your joy, you'll lose your enthusiasm. Come on now, say amen. Tarry around that cross and remember. But David also goes ahead and considers the Lord's mercies and deliverance. That is to say, in the latter years of his life, David looks at the Lord's deliverance. Now, I won't say this to you. God is not going to let His people down. I once was old, young, and now I'm old. David said, I have yet to see the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Now I'm telling you, when David got into those latter years, he looked back and said, Lord, it was good back there, but thank God it's better up here. And I believe he stopped a minute and paused and said, the reason it is better up here is because I have been following in my life the thing that good is. Now I won't say this. Not probably getting ahead of myself. But you cannot follow evil all your life and be happy.
Amen.
You're going to have to follow the thing that good is. Hey, come on now. You can't follow sin and live in the good times.
Right.
It has got to be a holy life, a righteous life, amen, a life that is pressing toward the prize, toward the mark for the high prize of the calling of God. It has got to be that kind of a life, or you're not going to enjoy life a great deal. And I'll get to my points here in just a minute. Now, Peter at the close of his life, thought it was right to stir up people, the people of God, by putting them in remembrance. In fact, he said in 1 Peter 1:13, yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Now, I'm going to ask you, is this crowd tonight stirrable? Are you stirrable? Can you be stirred up? Peter said, the best way to stir you up is to put you in remembrance. Praise God. Hey, not just remembering the day you were saved, but all of those blessings along the way, all those gracious deeds that God has done for you in your life along the way. If you will remember those things, amen, it'll make dying a whole lot easier when you get that old. I'm going to die having said, Lord, I followed the thing that good is.
Amen.
I had a good life.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Come on in the house now.
Amen.
The word, hey, by the way, the word stir up there simply means to bring the best to surface. You know that. I've told you that. And so David apparently believed that the best was the life he had in Christ. In fact, he said it was good. And whatever good is, that is what he intended to follow after.
Yep.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want to follow the good life. I want God's blessings in my life, and I want God's blessings in your life. But I'm telling you, you're going to have to help Brother Hall out just a little bit. I can't pull the whole load myself. I've got to have a little bit of help out of you. Any preacher does.
Amen.
Got to have some help out of the people. Amen. That's right. Now listen carefully. If we're going to follow the good life, and by the way, it's difficult. Well, I'll say this in a minute. If we're going to follow the good life, we must first of all find it.
Amen.
It is hard to live a good life if you don't know what it is.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. It's hard to follow the good life unless you've found it.
Amen.
You're first going to have to find out what the good life is. Oh, somebody said, preacher, it's a pretty good life in smoking dope and drinking liquor and running with Hollywood and carousing with the sinful crowd. Well, I have a pretty good time out there. That may be your good life, but that's not my good life. I learned that a long time ago, that liquor and drugs, come on, and strange women, come on now, is not a good life. Dope, dance halls, come on, that's not a good life. Sin is not a good life, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Amen. You're going to have to find it. The reason most folks are so unhappy today is they have never found the good life.
Amen.
You say amen there?
Amen.
Praise God, I remember how sad and blue I was when I was lost.
Amen.
You talk about a miserable creature. Friend, the life I had was miserable.
Amen.
My family was miserable.
Amen.
Everything about me was miserable. I couldn't hold down a job. I didn't want to work. I wanted to drink liquor. I couldn't help my wife because I liked liquor in the nightlife. Amen. Come on in the house. I'll interject this right here, but I'm going to get on a little bit down the road. May I say, when the sun sets, the best place for a man to be is in the house with honey bun.
Yep.
Amen. Not nowhere else, but in the house with honey bun, unless honey bun's out with him somewhere.
Amen.
Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. We ain't even got started yet. Help me out a little bit. You got to find it. Now, you'll find that good life, number one, in the Savior.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm telling you, when the day that I'm going to say it this way for alliteration's sake. The day that I found him, although I didn't find him, he found me. But the day that Jesus found me, amen, and I learned how much God loved me and what the Savior had done for me, I'm telling you, I began to live on that day. Amen. The day that Jesus passed by where I was. And lifted me out of the muck and the mire of sin. Amen. And revealed to me the love of God. Amen. And a sinful life that I was living. And the fact that He had saved me if I turned to Him. I just began to live. Amen. You'll find that in the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. You're not going to find a good life, like I said, in honky-tonking and carousing. Amen. I don't care if you're a responsibly good man, if I can put it that way. You're still not living the good life. Son, you can do everything right in life except get saved, and you still haven't found the good life. You can hold down a job, you can make money, you can love your wife, you can have children, you can raise a family, but I have automobiles and homes, amen, but I'm telling you, if you don't have the Savior, you still have never found the good life.
Amen.
Years ago, you know where I'd have been tonight? Home watching some old stupid television program. And some of you probably got you. Recorders on so you can watch it when you get there.
Amen.
I won't charge you nothing for that. That's just free. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm glad I'm not at home tonight.
Amen.
Thank God I'm in the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. When I found the Savior.
Amen.
I found a good life. And I've quoted this. I've read it. You ain't got on to it yet. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. You know what that thief is? Television.
Amen.
I won't charge anything for that. You know why it is? Why it's a television? Because it'll steal your time, kill your time, and destroy your time.
Amen.
And a whole lot more besides that.
Amen.
Amen. Come on in the house. Thief! There's a lot of things. I know this is talking about a false prophet or talking about the devil, but I'm here to tell you there's a lot of things that may not seem too bad that will rob you of the good things that God has for you in His Christian life. And you can't be a stinking couch potato watching television all the time. Amen. And ever enjoy life. Oh, you may think it is.
Amen.
I believe they used to even have one out called Good Time. I ain't old age. You think the good times is really the good times? I don't.
Amen.
Everything about that one-eyed devil is bad.
Amen.
People want to argue about the internet. I'm going to tell you something. I'll guarantee you I can find a few things good on the internet. You can't find nothing good on the television. I can turn on the internet and listen to WSOF. That's something good. You can't turn on your TV and watch it. Huh? Lady across the street did one year. I'm talking about in the safe. Hey, the thief cometh for to kill, to steal and to kill and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. There it is, the good life. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. There's that good life in the Savior. There it is right there, friend. Hallelujah to God. Running over, bubbling over. I want to reiterate, you can't be a couch potato of any kind and be a half. Find the good life. I want to say this to you. You can't even be the member of an independent Baptist church and not get involved in that church. If you don't get involved in that church, you still have not found the good life in the Savior.
Amen.
But I don't know about you. When the church has something going on, I want to be there.
Amen.
I want to be a part of it. I want to back it. I want to support it. How in God's name can we convince a world that we're saved and going to heaven if we cannot support that which Christ shed His blood and bought?
Amen.
I won't charge you nothing for that. He purchased the church with His own blood.
Amen.
And we claim to love God and never get involved in anything around the house of God. You ain't convincing me of that, friend. And you don't convince me that you're saved if you come to church and play La La Land.
Amen.
I'm talking about the Savior. Here's what the wisest man that ever lived said, Proverbs 8:34-35. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Boy, what a verse of Scripture. If any will come after me... No, wait a minute. Watching daily at the gates and waiting at the post of my door. Praise God. I didn't see too many folks waiting at the door when I got here this evening. I saw a young man on the inside. I didn't see too many beating the doors down to get in. Folks, praise God, let me just get down there and try to get loose. I didn't see nobody standing at the door waiting to get in when I got here.
Right.
I want to ask you a question. How can we enter into God's gates with thanksgiving and praise when we don't show enough interest to get to church really in time to start church?
Amen.
Come on. We want to come in at 3 minutes after 7. You're going to tell me you love the Lord and love His church? Now, I know if you're working, I understand that. I'm not being critical. But I know everybody ain't working. What I'm saying is I need to be an interest in the house of God. I want to say secondly, not only find it in the Savior, but find it in the Lord's service. Matthew 16:24, and you know this verse. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it.
Amen.
Have you took up your cross today and come after Jesus and finding the good life in God's service? Whatever it might be. Amen. Y'all know, who wants to hold and I'll do the skinning?
Amen. Great preacher.
Shame on us when we got to yank, pull, jerk, and tug to get something done for marathons and things.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, it ought to be a desire. It ought to be our heart's desire. To do whatever can be done for Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever can be done for the church in His service. Somebody said, I can't do much. Oh, that's all right. Little is much when God is in it.
Amen.
What I'm saying is be anxious and eager to do what we can do regardless of how much it is we can do. Let's do it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody said, you want us just to live at the church. That's right. Harold Seidler, I went to church. I was at Tabernacle 6 nights a week when I was in Bible college. Now, it taught me something. I was there Monday and Tuesday for school, Wednesday for prayer meeting, Thursday and Friday for school, and Sunday for church. 6 nights a week, I was at that church, in the hallways of that church. And I'm telling you, I had more fun, more enjoyment there in that church than anywhere else in my life, other than my home. Somebody said, but you was in school. Well, you're in school.
Amen.
We all need to be learning something.
Yeah.
Come on in the house now. I want to say number three, we're found in separation from the world. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Amen.
And I don't think I have to elaborate too much on that. Number two, not only do we find it, got to find it, but we got to fight for it.
Yes.
You're going to have to fight for it. It's not going to come easy. I think one of our problems today is that we've all gotten a little lazy on God.
Amen.
We've laid our Bibles down, and we've gotten out of the prayer closet. And we've got out of, we don't worship. And we've gotten lazy on the Lord.
Amen.
Come on in. Hey, you got to fight for it. What do you think? What do you think Paul said? I have fought a good fight.
Amen.
Amen. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith.
Amen.
So there's a fight going on. I think of David that was a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
And I went back today and tried to meditate on some of David's life. And I found David in one fight after another fight after another fight after another fight. All the days of his life, David was fighting. Can I tell you about some of them?
Amen.
I find David, first of all, fighting with his own brothers.
Amen.
They criticized him for coming up in the Valley of Elah when Israel was fighting the Philistines. One of them said, well, we know the naughtiness of your heart. You've come up here. You've come up here to see the battle. David hadn't come to see the battle. He had come to settle it. Somebody say amen right there.
Yes.
David was in a fight with his own brothers. His own brothers criticized him. Do you think you're going to get through this Christian life without your own brothers fighting you and quarreling with you over something? You ain't. Now, I'm not only talking about flesh and blood brothers, friend. I'm talking about those that are spiritual brothers as well.
Yes, sir. They'll fight.
There was a fight. And then there was a fight with Goliath. There's going to be a battle with the giants. There's always going to be something or somebody bigger than you opposing you. Come on now, somebody say amen. But I'm glad I've got a big brother that's bigger than whatever that might be.
Amen.
That said, he'll fight all of our battles for us.
Amen.
Can somebody besides your own say amen? There come old Goliath walking out there. And you know, it is strange. I hadn't thought on it this way. But David hit him square between the eyes with that rock, and he fell forward.
Amen. Right.
Somebody said the other day, I'd never, he fell forward on his face.
Amen.
You would think the force of that rock, it would have went backwards. Who was that in there the other day? Said they thought that God might have took that rock in his right hand. Throwed it like that, and just about the time it struck, he caught Goliath in the back of the head and said, boom, boom, and he just knocked him over on his face. Now, that I don't know that that happened. But I'm telling you, hey, I'm going to tell you what I think it happened, why it happened that way. God put David's enemy on his face so he would never have to face that enemy again. Now, I'm telling you, if you will conquer your enemies as you fight your enemies, you will never have to fight those enemies ever again in your life. Never. But some folks see them and want to run from them. Now, you know who the next fight David run into it with was? And I don't have them all in chronological order. He had to fight Saul.
Right.
His own kinsman. Tried his best to kill him.
Amen.
You think that wasn't a fight? Hadn't it been, if it hadn't been for David's wife on one occasion and Jonathan on another occasion, Saul had got him too.
That's right.
Amen.
Come on now. Own kinsmen. Some of your own relatives. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Some of your own relatives will do their utmost to be your adversary in staying right with God. They'll plan Sunday. They'll plan reunions on Sunday every time, hoping you'll lay out of church.
Amen.
Yeah, and by the way, folks, I love my kinsmen, but hey, it was my kinsman redeemer that saved me, not my kinsman, but my kinsman redeemer.
Yes, sir.
Is y'all right, honey? Maybe sick. All right. It wasn't my kinfolk that delivered me. It was my kinsman redeemer.
Amen.
And some of you in here is going to have to make up your mind whether you're going to serve God or your kinfolk.
Amen.
I made up my mind a long time ago.
Amen.
As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
David's fight, it goes on. I mean, David fought with the Philistines. Over and over again, he kept on fighting. Then David had to fight with his own children.
Amen.
Come on and get a hold of that now.
Amen.
Who would you choose, your own children or the Lord? Somebody said, oh, preacher, that's a hard decision. Well, I'll have to admit it's difficult, but I'll tell you, it's really not a hard decision.
Amen.
My children didn't save me. The Lord did. If it comes down between him and them, it is him. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
I hope it never does. But if it does, it's going to be him.
Amen.
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 Now, he said in the book of Hebrews 10:32-33, said, but call to remembrance of former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you become companions of them that were so used. I believe some of you in here is ashamed of me. Surely, I hope you wouldn't be. Over there was Hall. He's a cult. Well, he says you can't even be a member of the church and on the television. No, I didn't say that. You'd be surprised the people that went out and told that I said a woman could even come in here and wear a pair of pants. Hey, I've never said that about a lost woman. Now, same person comes in here and joins the church, they're not going to come safe too long in breeches. Not them little ding-a-lings down here either. And by the way, the fad today, these boys has got their breeches hanging down over their hind ends, praise God.
Amen.
Oh, never to be either.
Amen.
And the fads and the fads and the fags and all that mess.
Amen.
That young people are caught up in today.
Right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, we got to follow it. I'll be done here in just a second. Won't be too much longer. We got to find it. We got to follow it. We got to fight for it. Then we got to follow it. And don't let anything distract you. You can't hold on in this life to anything. I learned when God saved me and then called me to preach that I cut all bridges behind me. Every one of them. When somebody gets saved, all worldly bridges and means has got to be severed. All worldly ties has got to be severed. Burn the bridges behind you, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Burn all those worldly bridges behind you. Don't let anything distract you. Lay aside every weight and the sin that does beset you. There may be times you have to beat your body into subjection. There may be times that you've got to bring your thoughts into obedience to Christ. There may be times you've got to crucify the lust of the flesh with the affections thereof.
Right. Amen.
Now, follow what? Peace. Peace. I've never seen the world in such a turmoil.
Amen.
I've never seen people in such a turmoil and chaos Amen. As what they're living in today. Unsettled about everything. No peace. And they're looking for peace. And I'm telling you, I'll tell you again, it's setting the stage for the Antichrist. Because when people lose their peace and nations have no peace, that brings on wars and rumors of wars, and somebody is looking for someone to bring peace, and he's going to show up.
Amen.
He's coming. Now, stay right with me. Brother Peter said in 1 Peter 3, 10-11, "For he that will love life," there it is, "and see good days," there it is, "let him refrain his tongue from evil," there it is, "and his lips that they speak no guile, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." Come on now, I'm going to say some things about this peace. And I wonder if it's where we're living. Number one, there ought to be peace with the Master.
Amen.
Is there anything between you and Jesus tonight? Are you listening? I'm preaching slow. Is there anything between you and Jesus tonight? This all sings that song so many times, "Nothing between me and my Savior." Is there anything between you and Him tonight? Anything that would hinder you from having revival? Anything that would hinder you from having a good life? I'm going to tell you what. Listen to me. If there's something between you and Him, it won't just hinder, it will harden your heart. It'll harden your heart. Peace with the Master. Boy, I know we're going to like this one. Peace with church members.
Amen.
Anybody in here tonight? Hey, he said, if you want that good life, you're going to have to seek peace and ensue it.
Right.
Amen. Anything between you and the Master? Anything between you and the members of the church? Oh, somebody said, not but one and two. One or two. Then you've got a problem with the body. You got a problem with the preacher? You got a problem with somebody sitting next to you on the bench? I'm here to tell you that one of the things that will lock a church down, and I come within a hair of preaching on this message, one thing that will lock a church down as much as anything in the preacher here tonight is envy and strife.
Amen.
Charles Spurgeon said they are two hounds of hell that will not stop until they have devoured their adversary. And if one of them don't catch you, the other one's bound to get you.
Amen.
Envy and strife. In the church house. Some of you in here haven't spoken to me in a year, and you talk about being right with God. You ain't a bit more right with God than you're right with a billy goat.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, being out of joint with church members will lock it down just like it is tonight.
Yep.
And it'll slow it down just like it's been forever and a day. And amen. And it'll grieve God. You know what's wrong? Just God's grieved.
Yep.
And where is God? Where is God living today? In the hearts of His people? God is just grieved and the Spirit is quenched. And it's no wonder that we cannot have the power of God, and there's young people sitting on our pews lost and dying and going to hell, and they can't get in because somebody's got her locked down. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, I'd hate to be in some of your shoes at the judgment seat, friend. Amen or oh me. Hallelujah. Now, I want to say this to you tonight. My wife don't pastor this church.
Amen.
I do.
Amen.
If you've got any problem going on in the church, you see me and not her. She's not to carry the load, friend.
Amen.
That's right, Aunt Brother Leroy. You know it's right. That sign out there says Gary Hall, not Brenda Hall on it. That includes men and women.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Peace with church members. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves.
Amen.
My lands, if we can't be at peace among ourselves, how in heaven's name can we be at peace with the Lord? If we can't love our brother whom we've seen, how can we love the Lord whom we've never seen?
Amen.
Amen. What about this one? Be at peace with your mate.
Amen.
Husbands and wives ought to certainly be at peace with one another.
Amen.
It oughtn't to be boxing glove time. We're not field kid around here. We don't warm up for service. I hope y'all don't go home, bounce in the door, and go doing the jig like Phil does, you know, and get all warmed up, put on the boxing gloves. Be at peace with one another. Love one another. Amen. Cherish one another. Hallelujah. Follow the vows that you took when you got married, wherever it might have been.
Amen.
Come on now.
Right.
Be at peace with your mate. I know how it can get. Folks can get just a tad bit upset, a little bent out of joint, fussing and quarreling, and we don't realize that that brings that fussing and quarreling right to the church. But it does. Then the Bible said we ought to be at peace with all men. Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. I wrote this down in my note. Don't look for trouble. There will be enough for you without looking for it.
Amen.
Trouble come looking for you. Be at peace with all men. And then I want to say secondly, not only pursuing peace, but pressing toward perfection. Philippians 3:10-14. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. By any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You are to press toward that perfect love. John, 1 John 3:17 says, but whosoever hath this world's goods, seeth his brother in need, and have need, and shall have his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him.
Amen.
And I'm closing right here. There ought to we press toward that mark for perfection, and we pursue peace, and then we ought to pasture. We ought to pasture in green grass. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
Amen.
I started to preach out of Hosea tonight. Maybe should have. But I wanted to be here for a few days after I preached it. Because it's one of the greatest truths I've seen in the Bible in a long time. And I'm telling you, I'm afraid it's right where we're headed. It's right where this church is headed. And as sure as I'm where I'm at, it's not going to be a jolly matter when we get there, ladies and gentlemen. Let's stand together.